listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today we're live, and today is Tuesday, October 1st. We're back with you with another great show. I have a couple of great, exciting guests here. Just a couple of items in the news. The death toll from Hurricane Helene is now 137 people, and the devastation there is unbelievable. It looks like after a war or something, and places are flooded. Millions of people don't have power or anything, and food and fuel, I don't know how they're making it, but it's a disaster. Another item in the news that just came up is missiles were launched from Iran to Israel, and we're probably going to have a wider war right now, although I don't know why they would do this, because they're facing the United States and Israel, which are the strongest militaries in the world. And I don't know why they decided to do this, but, you know, they have to show they're doing something. So there you go. Let's get to our guests. First one is Billy Murray.
Hello, hello.
Are you still with Hostile, or is that doesn't exist anymore?
Hostile will always exist.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's just a different company.
I see. Okay. So Hostile used to be what?
Hostile used to be a casting company for Badass and Beyond.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Remember?
So you had badass people. I remember the pictures and everything.
Yes. So my job was to find the most badass people,
uh-huh,
put them in the database,
uh-huh,
so casting directors can go right to that site to look for badass people.
That's cool. And that was your creation, right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
100%.
Now, you're visiting us from where do you live?
Just outside Toronto.
Toronto?
Yes,
sir. Oh, wow. I don't know why. I had like back east in my mind, but I wasn't sure where.
Yeah.
So you're a Canadian.
I'm a Canadian.
Oh, yes. Wow. How cool is that? And you come here sometimes to visit, right? You like L.A.?
I love L.A. Mm-hmm. Every time I come out here, I'm always here to do something.
Yeah.
I'm here to hustle out a company,
uh-huh,
meet people, connect with people. So I'm always doing something here.
Sounds cool. And so what do you do now? What's Hostile now?
It's pretty incredible, really. Right now, and this is it. There's no more changes going on.
Uh-huh.
It's a photography
I see.
Company.
Okay.
So it's Hostile Photography. I've been a full-time photographer now for 2 years,
uh-huh,
and it's not going to change. I found my love. I found it.
Yeah, photography is cool. How long have you been dabbling in it before you became professional?
Well, I dabbled in it because I had to do a little bit of camera work when I was taking photos for the Hostile casting.
Right.
So I had to do a little setup to get some photos.
Mm-hmm.
And I started kind of trickling around with techniques and lighting and stuff. And I thought, you know, I really like this. I'm really, really, really liking this. And I just happened to... I just made the decision. I got a full hip replacement.
Really?
I did.
Wow.
And I didn't want to go back to the steel factory where I was working.
Yeah.
And I just said, you know what? This is a perfect time for me to take the leap. So I went out and bought studio stuff and a new camera. And I just, 2 years now, I've been doing it.
Wow. And you taught yourself everything pretty much?
Self-taught, yes.
Yeah.
I just...
No mentor or anything?
No mentor. I still feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Right? But I'm figuring it out, and
I'm sure you're better than you were 2 years ago. For sure,
100 times better than I was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
for sure.
Awesome.
I think anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you came to visit us. You visited us a couple times.
Absolutely.
I just looked at our text. The last time I saw you was 2017, I think.
Isn't that crazy?
So that's 7 years, man. It seems like yesterday, right?
Yeah, and I have to say, Sam, you at that time, I was fresh out here. I had no clue what was going on. No one knew who I was. And you gave me a chance to speak. You gave me that opportunity to tell my story.
Right.
And just allow people to listen. And,
yeah,
you know, you gave me that opportunity. And I'll always be so grateful for that. So
that's
thank
cool,
you.
Yeah.
Thank
because
you.
I love finding out about people, you know. And, and you want to give a chance to people that are not necessarily known. Tell those stories, you know, because people have amazing stories.
And you did, and you're still doing it, and I love you for it. So
cool. Well, we'll find out more about your background and everything. You brought a friend with you.
Absolutely.
Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Talk to the microphone a little closer.
Yeah. Getting a little closer there.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it.
And but you live in L.A.
I do, yes.
How long have you lived here now?
I was born here.
Oh, you were born here.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Did you always live in the valley, or did you?
I've never lived in the valley.
Oh, really?
No, I'm from down near the beach, Venice Beach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're a beach boy. I mean, come on, you know.
You don't look like one.
The bum part, maybe.
Yeah. No, but I Venice Beach is a pretty interesting place. There's a lot of characters and stuff that go there. Tourists definitely should go there.
Absolutely.
Right? There's all kinds of characters and everything. Some people that have been there forever, like the guy in his roller skates with a guitar.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Then there's like a million other people. And it always stinks of pot there all over the place.
Well, I wouldn't use the word stinks. Why would I say it smells wonderful like pot down there?
No, that's true.
Actually.
No, I'm a pothead myself. I have been for many years. But
congratulations.
But many people, no, I'm just saying it from the perspective of the general population, they call it stink. So that's why I said that.
But, no problem.
But it does smell strong like pot there ever since it became, even before it became legal, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it was always like that.
It was one of the big places where they would do a lot of the push for the legalization back before it was legal. You would have a lot of the activists down there and people signing petitions.
Right.
And it was a hot spot for pushing the cultivation cannabis expansion.
That's true.
And legalization.
True. When did it become legal, like medically in the 90s, right?
It was in the late 90s. We had co-ops first, which was a bit of a disaster, of course.
Oh, yeah?
You know, where people could get a license to grow 99 plants, and then we would all come together with our licenses and grow a few thousand together, and then we were supposed to give it all back to each other and
didn't work
enjoy
that
it. Well, it worked, but we just didn't. You're supposed to grow it, give it back. Everybody would smoke their own.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of that stuff was for sale.
Yeah. And then it became legal. What about Toronto? You guys can smoke there too, but it's not legal, right? Oh, wait a minute. In Canada it is, right?
It is. It is.
Wow. How long? Do you know how long it's been legal there?
It's been about 3 years now.
Yeah, Mike would probably know more than I do.
Yeah,
I'm not a pot smoker, so I'm not. I know it's legal.
So you don't know, yeah.
And I know it's thriving,
mm-hmm.
but not sure how long it's. But Mike's probably right, though. It's probably about 3 years now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, the whole world seems to come around, you know. But still, the federal government, man, they're just like,
disaster.
They don't want to do it, you know. They don't want to make it legal. For whatever reason, I can't even understand why, you know. Especially at this point, you got so many states doing this. And then there's still states you can get arrested just for a joint. Like Texas, right? Places like that.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on. But California's had it for many years, and it's very, very normal. I mean, they've got all kinds of products now, like vapes and oils. Well,
there's lots of different ways. You don't have to smoke to enjoy
edibles
cannabis.
And
you don't have to get high
to
enjoy cannabis. We know that the medicinal value of cannabis has been known forever. We just didn't know why. But one of the greatest things about the legalization process is that we are allowed to use all of the million-dollar technologies of science that we weren't allowed to use before.
That's true.
And because we're able to do special things like separate the different cannabinoids and create different strains that are high in THC for people who want to get high and completely without THC for people who don't but just want the CBD or the CBG or the CBN to help with the medicinal. You can use it as a cream. You can use it, as you said, as drops, as a tincture. You don't have to smoke.
Right?
There's so many different ways to get the cannabinoids into your system, which we know that the body has its own natural cannabinoid system.
Yeah.
Now through all the being able to actually study it in the open.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But the most, I think the best way is really still to smoke it, to be able to smell the flower and, you know, it's, I don't know, it's nice, you know, but
absolutely.
What are you going to do? Some people like the vape is great because you can smoke anywhere. Nobody knows you're smoking. So I thought that was like a great invention when it first
absolutely,
came out.
Absolutely,
You could smoke indoors. I mean, my God, you know. Changed everything.
Better than the old sneaker toke, I can tell you that.
So back to Billy.
Yes, sir.
Were you born in Toronto?
Just outside Toronto, in between Niagara Falls and Toronto.
I see. Well, that's pretty cool. You know, there was a time when I visited Toronto quite a bit. I was dating a girl. I had been dating her in South Africa, and then I moved back here, and she moved to Canada. I think a lot of South Africans move to Canada, you know, like to Australia and to Canada. They seem to have, like, big communities there. And I'd come to visit her, like, maybe every couple months. Mm-hmm. So I fell in love with Toronto, you know. It's a really nice place.
It's a great city.
Do you like it there?
Not so much.
No? Well, it's because you've lived there all your life.
Everyone, there's one thing everyone complains about. It's the traffic.
Right.
It's the worst.
Right.
He's in L.A. talking about traffic.
Right, exactly.
But it's worse than L.A.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. You know what? It's because they apparently don't have the infrastructure to handle all these cars. Here, at least, they built all these freeways a long time ago. And, you know, but now they're running out of room, too. I don't know where all the new cars are going to go, because what happens is you see new cars here all the time. Everybody loves their cars. So everybody has new cars. Some people have two cars. And what happens is that they all are added to the road, but now cars last a long time. So not many old cars are off the road. So you just get, you know, like new cars coming in and nothing's leaving. Where are we going to put all these cars? You know, right now you're already like stuck in traffic most of the time. But I discovered that most big cities have the same problem. Like rush hour and things like that, you know. Here, rush hour is all day and night. You know? I mean, it doesn't make a difference. But I think it's because you feel it more here, because here there are big distances, you know. So when you're in traffic for a big distance, you really feel it, you know. Mm-hmm. And in Toronto, maybe it's like 20 minutes or something like that, right, that you're sitting in traffic, maybe 30. But here you're talking an hour and a half if you want to go to
anywhere, you know. I agree, yeah.
So I think, but I've been to many big cities, and they all have rush hour traffic. You know, I was in Houston, I was in Johannesburg, I was in San Francisco, all these places, you know. It's the same thing in the morning, in the evening, you know, so.
You go to places like Bangkok and sit there for hours in a car?
Yeah.
Waiting to get to São Paulo, Brazil.
Really? Wow. It's amazing, you know. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, we think we have it bad, but some people probably have it worse than we do, you know.
Yeah. It's not that bad.
Right. Now, are you married, Billy?
I definitely am. 22 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember the last time we talked. I have one son, and he was he's 17 now.
Wow.
I remember last time we talked, he was just a baby, but yeah.
Right.
One 17-year-old and 22 years, yeah.
Wow. And you're pretty young. I mean, so you started early, right?
I started early. Well, yeah, 30.
Oh, 30. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But 22 years, and she still puts up with my shit.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I had my first child when I was 30. So,
me too. Yep.
Yeah, you know. And then on the other hand, you have kids right now. I call them kids at 30, and they still are not looking at marriage at all. You know, my kids, for example.
Still in the basement.
Yeah. Not quite, but they're not ready for marriage, let's say that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
Not ready to have families.
And, some are not ready to do anything.
Right, exactly. It is the generation, you know, but you know, again, they were born into a world that, you know, they didn't know our world when we were younger, you know, before there were cell phones, before there were even computers and stuff, you know. It was a different time then. And now it's like they're born into all this adversity, you know. You got like pandemics and weather changes and political problems. And AI and all this shit, you know, the weather and climate and all that. And they're just born into all of this. And then they don't know how to socialize because they're on their phones all the time, you know.
They live on their phone.
Yeah, you know, they don't even talk to each other. It's like texting all the time. You know, for me, texting is like for a few sentences or something, you know, and just to be in touch with someone. But to start writing like stories is beyond me. I don't understand.
Yeah, they do. A lot of voice messages.
Yeah.
That's how they communicate.
That's true, yeah.
Now, can you...
it's not in real time.
No, but the way I look at it is, can you imagine, you know, in our... when we were 16, 17 years old...
Right.
You're not the most confident person in the world.
Right.
These kids at that age are waking up and they... right to their phone. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they open it up, it's Instagram.
Yeah.
And they're looking at everyone traveling and looking their best and they're... drinking the finest wines, and like everything is just bragging.
Right.
It. How is that supposed to make you feel? Yeah. Right. You're going to feel underachieved.
Yeah.
And you're making way too much pressure for these kids to live up to these fake standards.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. Everybody puts only their nice pictures out there, you know, the highlights of their lives. So you don't know that they have adversity just like you do, you know.
And I'm 48 years old. Mm-hmm. And even when I open up the phone and I see a photographer throw a picture up and you're like, oh, shit. Damn it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not really that good. Right? You start getting hard on yourself. I couldn't imagine a 16-year-old having to deal with that every day.
Right.
And they don't get off the phone. They continuously look at stuff all day, every day.
Right.
And compare themselves to that.
Right.
Everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
And I it's sad.
And you know, I found, like, for example, like TikTok, you know, when I discovered it, I thought, wow, this is great. You know, you can learn a lot from it. But I learned it's, like, very biased. There's a lot of there's a lot of spamming there and people interfering, you know, like they're saying even, like, Russia and Iran and all these places are trying to interfere with our election by creating, like, fake profiles, and they put, you know, all these kind of posts and everything. I don't know. I just felt that it was depressing me to look at TikTok. I don't know why, but because they reveal a lot of real things and stuff. I don't know. So I deleted the fucking thing.
Yeah. I'm like, you know. I'm not even really on it, really.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I look at YouTube. I look at Instagram, Facebook. But TikTok, I don't know. It's not for me, you know. Like I said, it's addicting. I mean, I know people that are on it for hours, you know?
And that's us, and we've been through life dealing with a lot of adversity.
Right.
These are kids that are jumping right into this lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's all they know is
these
apps, and it's sad, really.
Yeah, How about you, Mike? Are you married? Do you have a family?
Yes, I have a son. He's 20, about to be 21 next month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But you're not married anymore?
I am.
You are?
Yeah, absolutely.
To the first wife?
The only wife.
Jesus. To the original
one's enough, brother.
Watch what you say now.
That's pretty cool.
She's an Irish. She's a firecracker.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, nice heavy accent, you know.
Yeah.
Very sexy even when she's mad.
I'm sure.
Nobody swears like the Irish. Very poetic.
It's kind of hard to understand them in the beginning, right? Until you get used to it.
It was a little bit for me.
Sometimes I watch movies, I can't understand.
I'm the interpreter for everybody in the family. Sometimes my brother will come to visit over in Ireland to the family, and this was years ago. My father-in-law, God rest him, passed away. But when he used to speak, and my brother would be sitting next to me, he turned to me and said, "What did he say?"
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, he's speaking English. Like, listen.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it is. You know,
like we were around some Jamaicans the other day doing a photo shoot, and I couldn't understand a word they were talking about.
I had to translate for them.
Yeah, they had to translate for them. Yeah. No clue. They're talking English.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, is he angry at me? Like, is he yelling at me? Like, I don't understand. Like, he's very...
Yeah, they're hard to understand. Yeah. You know, I know. So, what type of photography are you doing?
Dark, moody, badass portraits.
Oh yeah,
that's it. That's all. That's my jam. That's what I'm good at, and I just stick to that.
And who's your market? Who do you sell it to?
Anybody that wants to transform themselves, bring out that alter ego, bring out that inner badass.
I see.
Right.
So you create like portfolios for them and things like that. Is that like people that are?
Yeah.
In entertainment,
yes.
they want
athletes,
to present themselves.
Actors, actresses, models.
Oh, wow.
Housewives that want to, you know, be someone that
glamour.
They always wanted to be.
Right.
Yeah, no glamour.
No glamour.
No glamour. They want to bring out their, like, for example, there is this, 50-something-year-old woman has an alter ego. She's never acted that way, but in her mind, she's always wanted to be that wildcat.
Yeah.
You know, bring out that dark side, wearing leather. So that's what we do. So we set up that type of wardrobe and we collaborate, you know, get our idea down, and then they come into the studio and we nail it out of the park.
Wow.
Transform them into their, you know, be your own villain in your own movie.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
And how do they find you? Do you advertise, promote yourself? How do they find you?
A lot of word of mouth. And a lot of Instagram,
yeah,
you know, posting, sending stuff out,
yeah,
and a lot of hustle.
Yeah,
huh? A lot of hustle.
Yeah, that's the case with the business. You know, you have to when it's your own business, it's up to you to promote it and make it big. You know,
exactly. And we're going back to when we first met, 2017. Mm-hmm. My idea of marketing has never changed. It's always been the same. So instead of spending marketing dollars in Toronto, mm-hmm. my thought process was I'm going to spend that money and come into the biggest entertainment city in the world.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer for me.
Right.
You want to, I've only been doing this 2 years.
Uh-huh.
But if I wanted to fast track, I knew that I needed to be in this city.
Right.
And connect and hustle out really cool people.
Right.
And
a lot of demand here.
Yes.
People are in entertainment and stuff.
Yeah. Now, it didn't work. It didn't work in 2017.
Okay.
The first company didn't work in 2020, the second company. It didn't work at all. But those connections that I made all through those trips.
I see.
Are the reason why it's working now.
I see.
So to me, it's paid off, and it was that's why I come out here.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Do you have a website of some of your work?
Absolutely.
Give it to people so they can take a look at it while we're talking.
Yeah, www.hostilephotography.com. That's H-O-S-S-T-Y-L-E photography.com.
There you go. That's pretty simple.
His work is amazing.
I'm going to check out the work later. Yeah.
And then Instagram's at Hostile Photography.
I see. Okay. And so you're visiting now on business, right? No? Both? Pleasure
TSA
business?
TSA would probably say business, but I I say it's personal.
Jesus Christ.
I'm collecting content.
Okay.
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
I see.
So cool. I'm here for pleasure.
He's
got to be careful how he answers that. They send him a tax bill in the mail for working illegally here in the United States.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, if you come to, you don't have to earn the money here, you know, but you could find.
What I'm doing is, it would have taken me 10 years to do this in Toronto. I've gotten an incredible portfolio by being out here.
Oh, wow.
Three or four trips now. My work speaks for itself. And I wouldn't have got that if I didn't come out here to do what I do. That's why I continue to come out here.
Yeah.
I meet great people. I like Mike. He's putting me up in his apartment. You know, just great things are happening.
Yeah.
And it's really taken off.
So you guys are friends, right? How long have you known each other?
Not long. About 6 months.
Yeah, six
months. Really?
Yeah.
How did you meet?
We met at a comedy club.
Really?
Yeah.
We're out here?
Yeah, in L.A.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's friends with the promoter. I'm friends with the promoter as well. Uh-huh. So we just happened to be there on the same night. Uh-huh. And we got to talking, and I told him what I do and what he does. And there's a bit of synergy there. So
instant connection. Yeah, good energy.
Yeah, we became friends right away.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But then I called him up about a month and a half ago and told him I had something going on in Canada. We were sponsoring a boxer. And he was so kind. He just said, you know, I'm going to drive up there and do a shoot for you.
Wow.
And
it was in Montreal.
And Toronto to Montreal is
not very far.
And about 7.5 hours drive.
Yeah.
Each way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, it's not like we grew up old family friends. Something I met a few months ago, but
That's very cool.
We got along, and that's just what he does. His passion for what he does, and there was an opportunity, and he went, and the photos were amazing. I mean, for us to be able to sponsor a boxer, I'm pretty sure that we slipped one past the goalie there.
Yeah, and it wasn't just it was a championship. It was a WBC title fight.
Really?
It wasn't just just a regular fighting match. It was, you know, it was a big deal. So it was worth going out there and try and get some good shots for him. And you know, it worked out in the end. But it was just, because we met through good people that
we both trusted. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. We were very connected through good people that we trust.
Yeah.
Every time I come out here, I go to this comedian, always hang out with them, see his shows, you know, kind of support his comedy and stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
It's hard to find new friends when you're an adult, you know? And so that's why I think when you run into someone you actually like and click with, it's special, you know? And
we just met, but it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
He'll soon realize that I can go 0 to 100 if I get frustrated, but but I'm a very simple person at most, you know?
Yeah.
But there's nothing to work at. Usually you gotta try and change a little bit to like try and make it comfortable. Yeah, and fit, it's just comfortable. It's just like, that's Mike. I'm Bill, right? Like, very whatever.
Cool. Very cool. Mike, do you want to discuss what you do a little bit? Or
I'm happy to. I'm in the cannabis industry.
Cannabis industry. Yeah. That's why you knew so much about it when we talked about it earlier.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I should, or else I can't say that I'm in the cannabis industry.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd what be more like a politician then at that point, saying I'm something I know nothing about.
So what do you do?
Just about everything in the industry. Own cultivation. And
do you have your own company?
Yeah, we just launched a new brand. We teamed up with the adult entertainment industry. And we started.
That's a natural here in this town.
Two big industries that are circling next to each other, and there's a lot of crossover. And just from being in the industry many years, a lot of, and being in LA and from LA, you have clients who other people might call, quote unquote famous, or just regular good people.
Right.
But they have jobs that are more under the spotlight than the rest of us. So they have a little bit more of a following, and they all wanted to get into the cannabis industry. Everybody, you know, wants to participate.
Yeah.
So we were lucky enough to put a bunch of them together and start a company called Pornibus.
Okay. And that's a good name.
Classic.
We are able
it's incredible.
Pornibus.
we were able to develop all the different cannabis products, each one with a different adult entertainer attached to it. So we've started by dropping 4 flower strains. Mm-hmm. We have 5 more flower strains coming. We have edibles. We have vapes, pre-rolls, all with a different adult entertainer attached to the product.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah, it's very, very
so,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice angle and everything, And I know because... And you can get a lot of attention that way, too, because people like this stuff. People like adult entertainment stuff. I'll divert here for a moment and tell you that we used to have, a radio show back in a few years ago where he would bring in adult actresses all the time, And when I saw what they do with each other during the show, they take off their clothes, show their tits and everything. And I'm like, wow, people should be able to see this. Back then we weren't doing video or anything, right? Mm. So I got this idea to start an adult-only radio station and to put video on there. So that was 2014 when, it was just coming on the scene, being able to stream video on, mm-hmm. on phones and on computers and stuff. So I started a station. I called it Radio Temptation, and I brought some of the biggest porn stars to actually host the shows, and it was actually nice. I got a lot of attention and stuff with their media and all that. But the problem was that I don't know if you find this, but the people in this industry I found can be very flaky. So either they're late or they don't show up. And it was like I couldn't run the station. I couldn't run a business that way. And I thought,
near impossible. Yeah, no, it'd be near impossible to run it.
Yeah, and maybe I don't know. Maybe you don't see that, but I saw that a lot. It happened to me all the time to the point where I said I can't do this, and I closed it down.
My opinion is that's in every industry. Really.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I have nothing to do with the adult entertainment industry before starting Pornibus. So I have no reference. Okay. Right. But now being, I guess, attached somewhat to the adult industry, I've never been on a set. I've never performed nothing like that, but I'm with them all the time.
Right.
And you need to know that these are some of the greatest people. Right. I mean, they really are. There's such a bad reputation. I mean, I'm guilty of it as well. You think of porn, you think of people who maybe for whatever reason have some sort of a lower moral level to them, or that they're forced to do it, or they're on drugs. Absolutely quite the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
They choose to do it.
Right. They know enjoy what they're doing. They like it.
Yeah. And to me, most of them are just like us, but a little more brave.
Right.
That's what
that's true. That's true. They are brave.
Absolutely. And that's why I find them kind of badass, really, because in order to do something like that, you have to be on a certain level. Like,
right.
Some people,
confident.
Yeah, you just have to be a certain
in yourself.
Yeah, you just have to be a certain
which a lot of people don't have.
Person.
Right,
yeah.
That's
right?
True.
So I, I admire them a lot for that.
Yeah, me too.
They can be, like Billy said, like any industry, flaky. I do agree that sometimes it could be maybe a little more.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't say flaky, just, you know, give them a little more motivation, maybe, you know, like, hey, we're going to have a good time. Come on.
Right.
I found that, once you create the space and the space is positive and they enjoy being there, it's not a problem bringing them back.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody, you know, with Pornibus, we have one simple mission statement, very simple, and that is our goal is to set the world on smile. That's cool. It.
That's good.
Right?
And, that's a good,
and we have only one way that we go about doing it, and that is right. By being excellent to each other. And partying on.
I see.
And in that order.
I see.
Right? So being okay. Being a good person, being charitable, being, you know, aware of other people and helping other people, all your brothers and sisters, is a big part of who we are. And that's what we're trying to show. I mean, again, if you knew the porn stars like I knew the porn stars, you wouldn't have the notions that you have inside your head. There really are. They're amazing people. One thing I can tell you is sit down with a group of them and listen to their conversations. You will, you will laugh because right. What I always say is their normal is different from our normal.
Right.
It's not better. It's not worse.
Right.
It's just different.
Different.
But if you listen to them talk about their day and what they did at work and and all these kind of things, you're like, wait, what? Did you just say you, oh, yeah, I had a gangbang today and da 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 da. And now they're all sitting around having lunch together.
Right.
It's like,
yeah. No, that's
blowing.
True, you know.
It's really good energy. And that's, you know, and that's when I met Mike, it was just instant connection. He basically said, oh, you're a photographer. And then it was just, I have models that would completely love your style of work. Mm-hmm. And then when he saw my work, he was like, yeah, it was just an instant connection.
Really?
So
do you do nudes as well?
No.
Neither do I.
Right.
Yeah.
If you want to go see anybody in Pornibus naked or doing any sex, there's a million different, their portfolios are out there. They are proud of them. Right. I'm proud of them.
So
but you won't find it on our website. You
right.
know, we're here to push a totally different message.
Right. Yeah. So how do they contribute to the business? I mean, you're like on the cannabis side. How do they contribute?
They contribute by just being themselves.
I see. They promote it?
That's right.
I see.
Absolutely.
Okay.
They each have their own product that's specifically named after them. So
I see.
They, you know, they take great pride in their own personal products. So
right.
You see, you have different people with different strains. And
Mona Azar, is that it?
That's right. She's got her TNA Smother
and
Cake.
Donnie Sins,
BDSM OG.
Uh-huh.
We have Isaiah Maxwell's Deep Throat Choke Smoke.
Are these edibles that you showed me now?
No, this is flour.
Oh, it's flour.
These are all flour,
okay,
he wants one.
Yeah.
See, very cool.
You smell it.
Yeah. Here, let me smell it.
Mm.
I love the smell. Yeah. Now, I was telling Billy, I smoked pretty much most of my life. And so I stopped for a while. I'm getting a little older. I felt it's not affecting me in the same way. So I decided to give my body a little break so I can get through my senior year.
Yeah.
You know? But because I only enjoyed smoking it, you know, and it's not that great for your lungs, you know. So,
well, it's great,
but at any rate, I still love it, and I still I'm all for it. You know, I like the culture too of weed.
It's something that brings everybody together.
Yeah,
most people can agree on it.
That's true. Yeah,
right?
You know, and you know what? They still don't have, although they just opened one. But the only thing I'm missing is being able to be in, like, public places smoking it, right?
So they just passed.
Or even in private places, but together, where you can smoke
right.
together.
Well, they just passed a law here in the city of L.A. to start to give out licenses for cannabis cafes, similar to hookah lounges.
Right, cool.
So you can come in, sit down. Can smoke inside.
Right.
Just like you would go into a bar.
They did open a cannabis cafe.
Yeah, it's a great
they
cafe.
Called it that. And then they closed, I think, during the pandemic, because they opened right before the pandemic.
Yeah.
They closed, but they reopened,
right?
They are
open again, yes.
And it's pretty cool. I was there once.
It's a great place. That's where we go for comedy shows on Wednesdays.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I own a club myself in Spain.
Oh, really?
A cannabis club down in Benidorm called Stargate. A little shameless plug there. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Did you travel to Spain a lot?
All the time.
Oh, okay.
All the time, yeah. Okay. So I'm really excited for the cafes and the licenses that they've now started to give out for the city of L.A. so that people could go in, similar to a bar. You want to go in with your friends.
Socialize, you
sit down,
you know?
Yeah. Watch a game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can go to a bar, get a beer, watch football.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
But I want to go to a bar and smoke a joint.
Right.
And watch the game.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And if my friend wants to have a beer, God bless him, he can have a beer. But right. I want to be able to have, I want to smoke my spliff.
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
So that brings in people like me. So at the cannabis cafe, I don't smoke. But I love to have a beer.
Yeah.
But in order for me to have a beer, I got to go outside on the patio.
Yeah.
And I'm not allowed to come in with the beer.
For once, you alcohol drinkers, take your ass out to the parking lot.
Outside.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how we feel.
Yeah, there you go. Now you know how we feel. But you know what? I mean, those cannabis cafes are amazing. In fact, before it became legal here, I would take trips to Amsterdam and actually enjoy it there. I mean, it was like unbelievable. You tell people back in the States that they actually have menus of different strains and everything, and you go in and you smoke and you sit with people from all over the world, because Amsterdam is like Las Vegas
of
Europe.
It truly brings people together.
It really does, you know, and people like it. It's a social drug, you know. It really is, you know.
Absolutely.
It's not like some drugs, they make you want to stay inside of yourself. This one actually makes you want to socialize, you know. I mean, look, for many years, and people still do pass joints from one to the other, you know?
That's right. It's something you share.
Yeah, you kind of bring people together.
That's what we like to do.
Yeah.
Set the world on a smile. That's
what we're trying to do. Very nice. Billy, you don't have like themes in the photography. Pretty much most people that come to you, you'll shoot them.
Yeah, it's not a theme. Very cliche. We don't.
No, like hostile and stuff. You had a theme of people that you had there, right?
Well, the theme has never changed. So, you know, we're talking almost 15 years ago, I started Hostile, right?
Right.
And it was a good friend of mine who passed away of a drug overdose.
Really?
And his nickname was Hoss. So it was his nickname, my style. So I started clothing
tattoo.
To start, you know, keep his name alive in a great way. And so it was clothing for 5 years, and then it was an internet company. So the whole theme has always been just badass, right? Just be you, be badass. Yeah. And it funneled into the photography, because I'm very influenced by old movies, movie posters, villains, just really cool stuff, but visually, right? So the theme's just kind of always been the same.
Yeah. Very cool. If you guys want to see his work, it's Hostile Photography. Spell it again for us.
Hostile photography.com.
Right. You guys can check it and everything. I don't want to have to start typing it in here, but I'll take a look at it later for sure.
Yeah, so definitely that's the theme. But when you have someone, it's about in front of you, you're trying to get their inner soul. I'm really trying to bring it to life.
Right. So it's more than just surface. You actually want to bring out their personality.
Yeah, like anybody can throw a costume
on
somebody. And
that's true.
And, you know, like it's all about wardrobe, but it's about it's about them feeling the way that they always wanted to feel.
Uh-huh.
And then you just kind of settle them down.
Right.
Like there's people all the time say, oh, you should shoot this person, shoot that person. And they're like head to toe tattoos. And it's not technically just because they have tattoos doesn't mean it's going to be easy for them to shoot. It's actually harder for me because I don't know what to do with them. Right.
Yeah.
Because I got to calm them down. I got to figure out how I'm going to bring that out with all the tattoos. And so I'm very particular in who I shoot because
there's
a process, right?
Yeah,
so, Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, very cool. Now, you said you work in steel as well?
Yeah, I worked steel plant for 5 years because my other businesses didn't, they failed.
Right. And what did you do there? Like in the steel mills?
Yeah,
and stuff?
Just worked full time. Oh, wow. You know, plugging the steel away and doing my thing.
That's hard work, huh?
Yeah, it was, the job itself was pretty easy, but it's a steel plant. It is what it is. It's, you know. Yeah.
Well, I don't know much about it. That's why I'm asking.
Well, you go in and you do your job and it just creatively, I was collapsing. I just I got to do something. Used to doing businesses.
Right.
And then
kind of pay the bills.
Got to pay the bills. Yeah. And then I was blessed to get a hip replacement to make my decision to get the hell out of there.
Wow.
And I got laid off.
Oh, okay.
I got laid off and I wasn't look like I was going back.
Yeah.
So that kind of prompted me as well to just say, you know what, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
Yeah. Wow. So they have a steel industry in Canada, in Toronto?
It used to be massive. Like the city that we live in used to be massive, almost like a Pittsburgh.
Really?
It was a steel town. They call it the steel town.
Oh.
And they thrived on steel plants there. Not as busy as it is, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, but.
Right.
It's definitely a steel city.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
It's not unusual to get a steel job in the steel cities.
So. Yeah, yeah. What's the politics like in Canada now? Do you follow it?
God.
Is that ass still in there?
Oh, God.
What's his name?
I hate
Little
talking.
Castro?
Yeah.
No, not Castro.
Little Castro.
Yeah,
he's
Castro's son. It's just like him.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. This is
Trudeau, right?
Yeah, he's still in there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He don't look like his daddy.
Yeah, I know. He totally turned this country socialist, man.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
There's no doubt. We got problems, and we need to fix them quickly. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't we all? You know, I mean, look at this country now. We're like ahead of probably one of the most crucial elections in a very long time, you know. I mean, the country split right in the middle, you know. When you see the polls, it's always almost 50-50, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're right in the middle, and I don't see how we're going to bridge over that because you see a lot of hatred, you know. I mean, it's unbelievable, you know. Tonight we're going to have the vice presidential debate, and I can't wait to see that. But, you know, but there's just too much hatred going on.
But at least you get to see it.
Yeah.
You know why we can't see it? Some of the stuff that's going on over here?
Why?
Because we're not allowed.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. We're not allowed.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's a bill that was put in place. So there's things that are blocked for us from us seeing.
From TV.
Instagram.
Internet too?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
We all know what that is, right?
Yeah, wow.
Being told what to watch and what not to watch, yeah.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't get like that here, man.
Like, for example, a friend of mine, he's a professional fighter. Mm-hmm. He did a really cool shoot in an Italian-style magazine, mm-hmm. just from the States. And I clicked on the link to look at the magazine, and it literally says, you are not allowed to be
really?
Here. Yeah, you're not allowed to. Yeah.
Seriously?
You don't have access to being able to see this profile.
This is like China. I mean, what the fuck, you know?
That's exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
If someone can actually explain that to me, then I'm cool with it. But why am I not allowed to look at certain things?
I mean,
to be able to look at whatever I want.
Adults, what is this, you know? A democracy?
Yeah.
You know, a free country? You want to be able to do what you want to do, but... this is sad, man. I didn't realize that, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, when you come to L.A., what's your favorite places? Do you have favorite places to go? You probably don't go to Disneyland or anything.
No. I don't do anything like that because I feel like I'm always here without my son.
Okay.
And I would never go to a place like that without
my son. Without him,
I wouldn't do anything like that without any of the family members. But I don't know. I just like hanging out at pools. I'm a pool guy, you know?
Yeah.
I like hanging out at the pools.
Yeah. Do you go to hotel pools?
He keeps calling me to pick him up from Figueroa. I don't understand why.
I've always stayed in the West Hollywood area just because it's centralized. Like I can walk to a lot of the places.
A lot is happening there, yeah.
A lot's happening there, so it's easier for me to get around.
It's true because not many places where you can walk in L.A. and actually see action, you know. So most people drive here. And so I know West Hollywood is nice. We go there sometimes to eat and to walk around.
So funny story. My very first time here talking with you, mm-hmm. I left here. I felt so good. I walked up the street, started walking down Ventura, and I found this place called the Sportsman Lodge.
Okay, which doesn't exist anymore.
Which doesn't exist anymore, which really makes me very, very angry. But this place was, I found it by accident.
Right.
And it was a pool hidden in the back.
Yeah.
And so many superstars hanging around the pool.
Really?
I every time I came out here, that's where I hung out. It was the best.
Oh, wow.
And now it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
And there's a great story behind that place that no one knows about.
What is it?
Well, for years and years and years, anytime a band would come in to the city to do a concert, the only place they had room for all the tour buses was the Sportsman Lodge. They had all the room in the back to wrap all the tour buses around. So it was the most popular spot for the for bands to stay.
Right.
And all the roadies go there. The bands go there. You name the band, they've stayed there.
Really?
Incredible. And then you always find them around the pool.
Yeah.
You find the roadies hanging around the pool. I've had the best conversations with roadies for touring with the biggest bands in the world.
Uh-huh.
It, just the wildest stories. The pool bar bartender was there for 30 years.
Really?
So the stories that he had, it was just such an amazing place.
Yeah.
And then they just took it down. They got rid of it.
You know what's amazing? I lived here for over 40 years. I've never been there once.
Incredible spot.
Yeah, I know. I've heard of it, but I never actually went. And when I, when they were tearing it down, I thought, shit, you know, I've never got a chance to see it.
I was, you know, you hang out on the tour buses with, I was with hanging out with Willie Nelson's crew.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was great stories there.
Yeah.
Really, really cool stories.
Very nice. Cool. Well, guys, we're just about over. Mike, do you want to promote your business where people can find your product?
And- yeah, sure. We have a website, which is pornabis.com,
okay.
P-O-R-N-N-A-B-I-S.com.
Okay.
We have Instagram, which is P and three underscores, N-A-B-I-S, because you can't use the word porn in Instagram. So P underscore 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 N-A-B-I-S.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Okay. And your products are in dispensaries and stuff?
They are. We have them arriving in dispensaries in about 3 weeks from now, yeah.
I see. Okay. So what, this is rather new?
Brand new, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Just happened to stumble in here. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck to you with that.
Thank you so much.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. What did you do before that?
I always did this.
You always did this?
He's a lifer.
Yeah. My family's been in the industry since before I was born. And
really? Wow.
As young as I look, I am a little bit older than I look.
Well, that's cool. I mean, to grow up around that, I would imagine would be pretty cool, you know.
It was.
You had cool parents. Were they hippies and stuff?
No, thank God, no. No, my family smelled good.
Yeah. All the time.
They took showers. Yeah. We can appreciate cannabis and, you know.
You would need another hour.
Hygiene.
You would need another hour to talk about all these stories.
Really?
Crazy, crazy stories. Yeah.
All right, Billy. And once more, your website?
Yeah, www.hostelphotography.com.
And you do come out here so you can work with people in this town
as
well, right?
Absolutely.
They don't have to come to Toronto or anything.
No, I'm here till October 9th. Mm-hmm. So just link me up on Instagram. It's the best place to get me. Give me a DM. And we'll see if we can work something out.
He's back all the time.
Yeah. And I'm back all the time.
All the time.
Until they don't let me back in.
Yeah, so. There you go. Well, you're always welcome back on the show. You know, I'm glad you've kept in touch and everything.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
It was great seeing you and talking with you again.
You too. All right, everybody. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on